Hello, it's Kathy Love here. I'm a business coach who helps allied health professionals run powerful and profitable businesses in the disability sector. It's my pleasure to share up more private practice stories and wisdom in this, our third season. My guests are generous, creative, and honest. It has been such a joy to be able to hold these conversations and capture these moments for your listening pleasure. We're sure that you'll really enjoy these unplugged chats and these private practice heart-to-hearts. So settle in, let's get the conversation started. Eva Harold, speech pathologist, is the guest on the podcast, and she's the founding director of Healesville Speech Pathology. And her business is in the beautiful hills and mountains outside of Melbourne. Eva's been a speech pathologist for many, many years, and she's been in business for many, many years and has lots of learnings to share. Some of the topics that we cover in this chat are about the power of delegating admin, phone, bookkeeping activities and the impact that that has had on her lifestyle. We also talk a little bit about why it's so good to get those session notes written during sessions. Controversial, we know, but you'll hear our thoughts on all of that good stuff during the session. We put off conversation about the NDIS for as long as we possibly can, but you will hear about our optimism and the need to hang in there through the ages and stages of the NDIS, and that in years to come, we're both very optimistic that it's going to be quite a magnificent service to those with different abilities in our community. Eva also talks about her passion for research and a couple of ideas she has up her sleeve on that front that she hopes come to fruition. And possibly best of all, between you and I, she talks about her amazing health assistant Nibbler, her beautiful little 6-kilo dog who goes with her everywhere. So there's something in here, and it's quite a wonderful story to capture. So I hope you enjoy it. Hello, and thank you for joining us on the Private Practice Secrets podcast. We're in for a bit of a treat today. In the beautiful mountains outside of Melbourne is a very boutique speech pathology practice called Healesville Speech Pathology. And that is the great life work of Eva Harold. And Eva's joining us today for the conversation. And just before I was hitting record, she was telling me what she's wearing. What are you wearing, Eva?
So I'm wearing my new hoodie with a logo that has been designed by one of my mums, who's actually a graphic designer.
Wow. You've got a. So have you changed your logo recently, or is it the one that I know?
So this is a new one. This one's fun. It has two speech bubbles and two thinking bubbles.
Ooh, okay.
A boy, a girl, and some conversation happening in between.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. I really like the one you had as well. You find talented designers in your business world.
Yes, I have. My son designed my other one. And this friendly one is the one that I wear out to schools because it's child-centered.
Yeah, nice. So take us back. Take us back the right amount of time. We don't want to go right to the beginning, Eva, because, you know, you and I will be chatting forever. Take us back to when your private practice started. Where were you, and what did those early days look like?
Oh, it's such a contrast to today, because there were so few funding sources for private practitioners, and yet families were asking not to be left on long waiting lists. Mm. So education department circa 1986, and I had this vision about private practice, which didn't take long to overtake my love, my interest, my passion for my work. And ever since then, it's just been a matter of moving along with the times, including dealing with helping with children funding, private practice funding, and now bringing us to NDIS, which is pretty much doing my head in, Kathy.
Oh, gosh, we're 2 minutes in and we've hit NDIS.
Mm.
Let's just park that for just another 5 or 10 minutes. We'll gather our strength. And fair to say, by way of context, today we are in May recording this, and it's the very day that the NDIS practice standards have dropped. So fair to say there is a monumental amount of conversation online about these standards. But we're not going to talk about that just yet.
Mm.
So 1986 was when you started?
Wodonga Student Services.
Wow.
It was a portable with a phone, so I was very fortunate. I actually had a way of contacting my customers and schools. Unfortunately, however, I only had a Roneo machine.
That is just like unimaginables for speech pathologists of today, not being able to hit a colour copy and whiz it through the laminator.
So the challenge really was to make therapy happen with nothing much.
Yeah.
And I think those origins gave me a lot of capacity to be creative with my intervention. It also meant that I began to think about working with groups. So I really needed to see more than one child at a visit. For those days, that was quite innovative, really.
Mm. Where did your referrals come from back then?
So being student services, initially it was school-based.
Yeah.
But then my private practice, it was a little controversial because people saw me as having a conflict of interest. I was in a school, and yet the school was trying to ask me how their students could see me privately. And all of a sudden we had to work out different streams of referral. So on my day when I wasn't with the department, I was allowed to take calls for my private practice, but I wasn't allowed to self-refer from my waiting list.
There's always a solution, isn't there? And that exact scenario still exists today, whether clinicians are engaged in a community health setting or an education setting or even another practice or organisation. So well done for negotiating a solution that was good for everybody ultimately.
Well, it was fantastic because, as we know, in our work it's the complexity which is often the side that needs more of a private touch. And so I found myself very early on in my career understanding that families have choices and that, in fact, early intervention, which, again, wasn't very well funded, was an important part of how to make changes in not only in the life of the child but the family.
I'm hearing words of child-centred, family-centred. How did you work to those incredible principles, and you know that I adore you, back in the day, back in the 80s and 90s? They were just kind of concepts on the horizon back then in a way.
I would agree with you. I think that there's a part of me that had a very strong nurturing instinct, and it was very natural for me to interface with families in that way. And it possibly came from the fact that my family were refugees. Originally, my parents were refugees, and we were from a large family, and we were always taught to make do with what we had, but we were always taught to be very cognizant of others, and we were quite humble really, because growing up in Pasco Vale, I was on the northern side of the Yarra.
In Melbourne? And
yes, where it was normal to speak Strine, Kathy.
Australian?
Yeah, Australian, yeah, from Paco Vale. So, Paco. So what did I learn? That really you had to be present. And I think I learned that primarily from my parents and my family. And then I just applied it to my work, and it worked like a charm.
Yeah, yeah. Kindness and respect and patience go a long, long way in business.
Mm. I think that temperaments really stayed with me, and has helped me to gain a good reputation. So people talk about the fact that I care. But of course, as we have got to know each other well, sometimes caring isn't necessarily all you can muster, because you still have to sustain yourself and hopefully not burn out and maintain your business.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. So what were you doing in the early days to make your business grow?
Being in a small town with limited resources, it had its own momentum. And it was, I suppose, demand and provision of services working hand in hand. And then the classic for any country town, certainly Healesville today, is the grapevine.
The word of mouth.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that in the last several months, more customers have come to me from that source than logging onto my website. Forbidden, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? Mm-hmm. So people are just still in cafes, talking, schoolyards, cross-referring. And so I have a motto that every job is only as good as the last job you did in a small country town.
Yes. You're as good as the last little client that's totted out the door.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Wodonga Albury area rolled along for a while.
Then I moved to Greensboro.
That's right.
So Greensboro was fantastic because we had all the little towns out in the periphery, for example, Research, or even customers as far as Yarra Glen were coming into Greensboro.
So we're still talking about the very edges of Melbourne at this
point. I think that's where I belong, Kathy. Actually.
I think you're in the trees, yeah.
Yeah, I really am. And that's why the internet, being able to use telehealth. So more recently we have had this amazing option at our medical clinic where specialists can now log on at the clinic to interface with clients. And so I'm hoping to go up there and have a chat with them about using their system to do a counter telehealth into the city, which is counter community. So city customers logging on to our relaxed country clinicians.
Yeah, it's I'm sure I've spoken about this on the podcast before, but I'm quite bewildered why telehealth pops up in our minds for rural and remote clients in rural and remote areas. I just see it as being so applicable to anybody anywhere, and there's so many reasons why it's a good idea. So I just love that delicious irony of a rural clinician providing telepractice into someone in the metro area. That's
correct.
Incredibly good. Incredibly good. So you've been working in private practice for most of your professional life, yeah?
So around about 32 years with some babies in between.
A couple of babes.
And a master's degree, which was time out for 2.5 years. And that was fantastic. I loved actually spending some time thinking again privately, contemplating going back over the importance of research, evidence-based models, and just trying to make sense out of the whole discussion around literacy, which was what I took on at that time.
Yeah, yeah, that delight.
It's a big topic.
Literally. Yeah, that clinical delight of being able to get into that
zone.
Sweet, yeah.
And learn about flow, Kathy. Not being interrupted by the importance of my customers' needs, but actually at that time I was caring for my father. So it was interesting that I could take natural breaks, which you do with elderly people, and otherwise study.
Goodness. It sounds so self-indulgent, isn't it? But it is food for the clinical soul and for the curious mind. It has to be done by many. So, yeah, to have the opportunity is quite beautiful.
Mm.
What are, no, let me re-ask, would you describe yourself as a natural businesswoman? Has that been
absolutely
interesting?
Not.
Oh, no. Not at all.
No. So, Kathy, you know, I called you. I needed help. I think it's very much my demise, but I'm still a survivor in spite of that. I've just got used to delegating out tasks, clinical tasks, and in fact had a conversation with my master's student today about his role in supporting my practice by doing some of my admin. And he was so pleased because he can't actually afford the petrol from where he lives in Brunswick to Healesville, yet loves coming to the country because he's actually his family background is McCubbin, as the original painter McCubbin.
Mm.
So he is now going to take on some tasks which he believes will help him in understanding caseload better. So in my garage, I have two filing cabinets full of past clients.
And I'm sure they're all secure and backed up and
they are
completely
very,
privacy.
Well, here's the thing. Yes, it's a locked filing cabinet, but that's my goodwill. And we're searching for those past clients who have conditions which are lifelong.
Mm.
And seeing whether or not I may tap back into working with some of them.
Yeah.
So we're doing it one file at a time, and he's going to be scanning and uploading the information for me with consent, and hopefully we can have some conversation along the way, which will be reciprocal. So, yeah, delegating, Kathy, it's important.
Yeah, been a key learning, delegating. And you've also delegated some admin support and phone and scheduling and invoicing. Did that make a sizable time difference to you?
I found relegating my clinical caseload timetable to my admin assistant allowed me to take back some really important time that was often not working, because when I first called the customer, they wanted to engage in a conversation that perhaps was beyond the scope of that first call. And so that's helped enormously. And more recently, I've just found someone who's going to be doing my bookkeeping, which is a virtual system as well. And I won't mention the company's name. But let me say that I'm really excited about having someone whose job it is one day a week to keep my books up to date.
Oh, that is going to feel great.
Mm. I might even get some time off, Kathy.
Oh, my gosh, not work 7 days.
Well, walk the dog would be good.
Oh, and
in the Healesville countryside, of course.
I know, with your polar fleece and your wet weather gear. So delegating admin, delegating some client management activities, delegating the books and accounts, you end up clawing back hours and hours per month.
Yes.
For dog walking. Beautiful.
Well, absolutely. To be honest with you, the thing that I hate most of all, as far as admin goes, is saving documents to file. And I've also delegated that out to an assistant so that when I go to file, I find in there everything I need at my fingertips at the moment of the session. And I think the advantage of a software program for your clinic where you can go in and be really efficient, it's an absolute must.
You've used practice management software for a while.
I have, thank you, and find it absolutely necessary. Couldn't imagine paper files now.
Mm.
And I'm thinking about the wonderful advice you gave in one of your recent webinars where you talked about getting the information down in the session and getting your parents, say, for example, to join in. And I'm finding myself handing my clients a parent an iPad and I've got something happening and we're actually gathering information as we're going. And I find that they're more empowered because they're participating.
I am fist pumping the air. That is so cool. That blog about writing session notes during the session, honestly, it was
just fantastic.
It's polarized people, which I think is good as well.
And I still can go back and find some of my triplicate books, Kathy.
Oh, bless.
But honestly, I would never turn back.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think that collaborative approach is absolutely the way to go. I don't know. I'm so used to it now. I've got no words for how else I would do it.
I'd like to get my dads in more to be part of that.
Oh, wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I expect that's coming, actually. Mm. Some mandatory dad time.
Yeah.
And the children love it, of course, because dad's often preoccupied.
Yeah. Ooh, there's a little interesting avenue for you to explore, how to engage the dads more and differently.
Well, one little tool that I do use is when I'm out at a school and I'm working with a student, I wait till they peak in the session, take some video, and that actually gets sent to mum and dad's mobiles.
Mm.
We often get very quick responses. Yeah. They're delighted. One, because they can't be there, but they love to see that peaking moment of their child doing a task which otherwise they perhaps hadn't contemplated that they could either achieve it or mm. achieve it as well as they do.
Yeah, or even initiate it.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So the business management side of things has had some peaks and troughs. What have you learned about yourself in being a business manager?
I think the most important thing is that you have to be humble in your learning experiences because there's so much change. And we weren't going to talk about the NDAs before.
No, this is about what you've learned. No, we're still going to we'll just give it another minute. I'm just gathering strength.
Okay, so let's say.
What have you learned about yourself?
Let's say this much. I need protocols. I need boundaries and systems. Templates are great. But I think that I'll learn till the day that I retire because the biggest lesson is you need to learn that change is happening all the time.
Yeah.
So you have to be flexible. We had a moment with our gold standard language test, Kathy, mm-hmm. called the Self 5,
mm.
where people were at a crossroad. So these are my colleagues, and some people chose iPad version and the others wanted paper-based versions. I chose iPad and I'm never, ever going to turn back to a paper-based test
mm.
because I just found that once I'd learnt the system and the virtual system that is in the cloud, so to speak, it was astonishing how well it supported what I was doing.
Yeah. You're very tech savvy.
I am. I have two sons who are happy to teach their mother. So whenever I get stuck, one is a software engineer and the other one's a graphic designer. And so I often ask them tricky questions, which are like, how do you use Slack? Or let's see, how would I use a boom mic whilst I'm speaking with Kathy? And my son, who's also a videographer and photographer, has supplied a boom mic for me today. Good one, Adrian. Thank you.
Yeah. And that's why your sound is magnificent and mine is its usual kind of suboptimal state.
So does that mean a trip over to see you, Kathy?
Who knows? Who knows? Who knows? So the business is going really well. You're learning all the time. You're dependent on tech and very curious about how technology can reclaim your time and enhance your business management and also enhance your customer experience as well. What makes your business unique?
Ah, now that's a great question. I think it's just me, actually. I think I make it unique because, as I often say with my pediatricians, oh, if we could just clone you, the really good ones, we need one, two, three of you. But often there's only one of us, but we can share our knowledge down the line, as I had my master's student with me today, and pretty much teaching him the ins and outs, the facts of life, of surviving this relentless kind of quest to make a difference in the lives of families. And he just sits there wondering about some of the challenges that might come forward for him, but coming equipped. The time that he spends with me is outside of his regular clinical hours that he has to do for uni. So he does it in order to just get that edge.
And learn from you and your uniqueness and your value-driven business, as my observation has been from the outside. So with the segue of values in mind, what do you think we need to discuss about the NDIS today? We've only got a few minutes.
Kathy, it's...
I don't have wine. I have nothing to fortify myself.
Look, I'll be honest with you.
Go for it.
Either you embrace it or you might just hang the shingle and go fishing. So I have to embrace it. I just do. Even though it's sometimes what I'm going to call, quote unquote, a necessary evil, I'm in it with so many others and I feel that engagement. And in fact, it's drawn our community together. It's made us stronger. Well, Chantal Robarts, there's a woman who I met her last year when you had your pediatric conference in Melbourne. She just blew me away. She has an aura about her. So there's that leadership that I look for with regards to NDIS. I look towards those people who are making it their daily chore. It's not, I haven't gone that far. I use it in order to facilitate the work that I do. But Chantal Robarts, she's incredible.
She's out there.
And Kathy, to be honest with you, I have very clear documented experiences now of families having choices that they didn't before.
Yeah.
Families who perhaps hadn't ever anticipated having their children assisted in a secondary school. So Hillsville High School now has a satellite unit, and I now have four teenage students that I work with because of NDIS.
Opening up opportunities for many who have not had access to great speech and language and communication and supports.
And in fact, it's interesting that I'm doing transition to workforce therapy now instead of transition from kinder to school or school to secondary school. It's transition to workforce.
Wow, that's amazing. That's fascinating. So you're optimistic.
Very.
Yeah.
I really am. And I think the protocols, they will change over time, but fundamentally we'll embrace it for what it is, and that is an attempt to consider the individual and to empower families through choice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm still optimistic. I'm still optimistic. I did get a little bit nervous when that news about 2 or 3 weeks ago that the Medicare levy would not be pursued and contributing. I thought, oh, goodness, was that a missed something? but I still kind of think that it needs a few years for maturity. The NDIS feels a little toddlerish at the moment.
I would agree.
A little flighty and a little sort of stompy. And there may even be some teenage years ahead as well. But if you're there and you're tenacious and creative and optimistic about what it stands for and the opportunities it brings, I reckon it'll make it through to adulthood and be quite remarkable.
Yes, that, well, certainly we're talking about years to come. I'm not sure how many years I've got left in me, Kathy.
Don't say that.
Yeah, well, I'm thinking about what do you do when you've got access to so much technology and maybe you do need to wind down those one-on-one clients and find myself really enjoying free webinars, hopping online to other parts of the world sometimes in the middle of
the middle of the night.
to learn something really in those quiet moments. And in fact, what I would like to do is do some volunteer work in Melbourne at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute. Mm. So Professor Angela Morgan and her team are doing some amazing work at the Centre for Research Excellence, which is the speech and language studies there. And I have made inquiries and, in fact, they might consider me as a volunteer.
Wow.
And how good would that be, getting on the train and commuting and spending a day with my sons, hopefully, in the city, maybe meeting for lunch.
Bit of lunch. Goodness. That relentless curiosity and to learn more. I hear it. I hear it's not fading at all just yet.
Absolutely not.
I would also like to like you to share that little black and white fluffy allied health assistant that you have.
Oh, my Lord. Thoughts.
Let's just give a little profile to that that piece of awesome.
So Nibbler is 6 kilos dynamic. For he thinks he's a big dog.
Yeah.
But, oh, look. Lately, he has been coming everywhere with me, pretty much. In fact, I went to the satellite unit at Hillsville Primary School, which is children who have been in special education settings who get to come into a mainstream school. And Nibbler's job was to desensitize one of the students. Obviously had a close encounter with the canine, and the incredible thing was we decided to walk him. Kathy, he did a poo on call.
Oh, perfect.
And we could discuss picking it up, what do you do, putting it in the trash, and that no dogs don't use toilets. And this young man came in and then proceeded to explain that to the rest of the class, which was very amusing. And each student came up and introduced themselves personally to Nibbler, and the teachers were amazed because the students were so engaged. What do dogs do? They don't answer back, and they're very good listeners.
Yeah.
Yep. So, yes, he's a star attraction, and in fact,
I hope he's got his own Instagram account. And
well, I received a gift over the weekend. One of my families had a hand-drawn colour. It's a watercolour or pencil colour portrait of Nibbler made for me, and they brought it to clinic. So if you would like to see what Nibbler really looks like, I'm going to post that on the Healesville Speech Pathology Facebook page and just give him a like. Or maybe a love.
Yes, definitely, definitely. He is quite the dog with an attitude for his size. He more than makes up for that.
And it's very trendy to take dogs with you to outreach appointments. So I'm just keeping up with
You're cutting the curve. Cutting the curve.
Yes.
Oh, amazing. Now, all of my guests have the opportunity, when I remember to ask them, that is, to ask me a question. Is there anything you'd like to ask me? I'm sitting here with my fingers crossed.
I'm going to ask you if I can hark back to one of my favourite links on Facebook, which is a young man in America who checks in with individuals with disability and asks them the following question. So it's called Special Books, if you've not seen it.
Oh, I have, yeah.
And he asks his special guests, and what do you want to tell the world? If you could tell the world right now, what would you want to say? So, Kathy, if you could tell the world something really important right now, what would you say?
That we are all mere mortals and that we're all equal and that we very simply and very complexly deserve the chance to live our biggest, best possible lives.
Brilliant. And that's what you do so well. So thank you, because I did mention Chantel, but I forgot to put you right up there with my most inspiring women of all time, Kathy Love.
Wow. Gosh, they're big words. Whoa. I'm going to sit on them for a while after this call. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
I mean it sincerely.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, Healesville Speech Pathology, well, Healesville and its areas are very, very lucky to have you. And I love hearing about what you're up to, and I love hearing about why you do what you do, which I know you think about deeply. So thank you so much for sharing up a bit about your business and what you're up to now, and also for sharing Nibbler as well. So thank you, Eva, and we'll put as many of those details as we possibly can in the show notes and links to your website. So thank you.
Thank you very much. It's been a privilege.
Thank you for investing your time right through to the end of this episode of Private Practice Secrets. If you're running a private practice and keen for more business confidence and management know-how, head on over to our website, nacre.com.au. I'll spell it. nacre.com.au. Over there, you'll find all sorts of business resources and inspiration, blogs, forms, web events, freebies, our virtual conference information, workshops, and more. And don't be shy. Take advantage of the free power call and book yourself into my diary for the chance to have a business chat and to pick my brains. I'm Kathy Love, Allied Health Business Coach, wishing you and your business a brilliant day.